All right, we're going to be in Acts chapter 14 this morning. So when we get your copy of God's Word, Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 20, we're starting almost getting ready to head home, but today is a big day in the life of Paul. So we were in Antioch, and then we went from Antioch, we went to Iconium. That's about 90 miles away. Last week, if you want to look up in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, they were getting ready to stone Paul in Iconium, and they said, oh, I'm not ready to be stoned. So they left Iconium, and they took about a 20-mile walk. I say that like it's no big deal, just jumped in his car and went. No, he walked 20 miles to Lystra. Now, some of you may say Lystra, some of you may say Lystra. It's all the same, okay? So I'm going to call it Lystra for the day. You say Bangor, I say Bangor. It's not the same, but you understand what I mean. So we're going to go Lystra or Lystra, whichever you prefer. You say potato, I say potato, okay? So we're going to be in Lystra. We need to understand what is going on in Lystra. We need to understand the context and the background of Lystra. Lystra is a place that wants to worship God. Lystra is a place that has people that want to worship. They desire to worship. Unfortunately, they're worshiping the wrong gods. They believe in this fairy tale, or if you will, a folklore, that there were two gods. If you look in verse 12 of your scripture, these two gods were called Zeus and Hermes. Now, their great-great-grandpappy had a story who told his grandpappy, who told his son, who told his son, that told his son, and this now has become legend, that these two gods, Zeus and Hermes, they came to Lystra one day, and they started to knock on the different doors, seeking hospitality, and nobody was willing to host them. So they kept knocking on these doors, and they finally found this couple. And this couple was willing to open up their home, bring them into their home, and show them hospitality. Well, Hermes and Zeus, these false gods, they got angry with the town of Lystra, and they decimated the town, except for these two people. Now, these two people, after they were dead, these two gods, they allowed them to live eternally, and I use that carefully, and they came into these two big oak trees that are not in this picture. By the way, you could tell it's a modern-day picture because this is a power line right here, all right? So this is a modern-day picture of Lystra. But there's two big oak trees that were there with this couple that were willing to show hospitality to these two false gods. This tells me a lot about the people of Lystra. They have a desire to worship. Unfortunately, they're worshiping the wrong gods. And I would submit to you this morning, it sounds a lot like America right now. We have this desire to worship, but we're worshiping all the wrong things. We need to worship the one true God. So today what I want to do is help us learn how to go from the familiar or the common ground and go and take them to the foot of the cross, which is would be for some the uncommon ground, all right? So by now you should be in Acts chapter 14. Now that you understand Lystra, they have a desire to worship. We just need to help them worship the one true God, not the false gods of Hermes and Zeus. All right, so we're going to look at the first three verses. There's a condition that we're going to meet. There's a man's condition. All right, we're going to meet this man. He's a very interesting guy. In Lystra, so we walked 20 miles with Paul, and we went from Iconium to Lystra. A man was sitting there. Now notice what we learn about this man. He was sitting there. His feet were incapacitated. He had been disabled from his mother's womb, and he had never walked. What do you learn about this man? Luke, the author of Acts, told us three different ways the condition of this man. He is helpless. He cannot help himself. This man, it wasn't like he at one point was able to walk and then had an injury. It wasn't like he had this debilitating disease that he can go back and remember when I used to walk. Look at what happens. From his mother's womb, he's never been able to walk. He's been incapacitated or handicapped, and he takes it even a step further and says he's never walked. How many of you have ever rolled an ankle? Anybody ever rolled an ankle? All right, so back in my younger days, which is like 2 years ago, I went and decided to play this game. It's the worst game ever. Don't ever play this game if you're like me. It was a balloon game. The object was to take a balloon from one side of the gym to the other. And then you had defenders that you kind of had to weave around. Well, I was taking this balloon and I was acting my shoe size and not my age. Okay? Whatever, that age will work, that's fine. So I was hitting this ball down the gym, and I was coming to a defender, so I jumped. Well, that's funny in and of itself. So I jumped and I hit this balloon, and the defender was there, and I came and I hit his work boot. And I hit it, and I rolled my ankle. And I could hear the snapping of the tendons. And I thought, oh man, I busted my ankle. I broke my ankle. Immediately, I fell to the ground. And the first thing I said was, don't call 911. I'll be okay. So they did the next best thing. They went and got Holly. So I pulled myself over to the bleachers. I said, do not call 911. Just take me to the hospital. So I went there and I had this x-ray and yep, You twisted your ankle. It's not broken. All that snapping you heard were just the tendons. And this thing was pink, yellow, purple, blue, you name it. It was really, now that I'm healed, it was pretty cool. But at the time, it was not fun at all. So I'm on crutches, and I hobble into church the next Sunday, and I'm like, this happened during the ministry. Do I get workman's comp? That's what they said too. No. So after a while, a couple weeks, I started to very gently put weight back on that ankle. But you know what happened? The muscle had to be rebuilt. The strength had to be rebuilt. The confidence had to be rebuilt. What is not happening here is this guy does not have anything to go on. Luke tells us in three different avenues, this guy has no prior knowledge. He has no hope. When I walked into that, well, I didn't walk. When I wheeled into the ER, the doctor said, it'll be okay. Give yourself a couple weeks. You'll be back on your feet good as normal. I had hope. This man sitting here, lame from birth, he had no hope. The question I have for you this morning, the first one, have I come to the place where I realize I need help? How can we sing, God, you are so good, if you haven't come to the place to realize that you need help? This man, he couldn't pick himself up by his own bootstraps. He couldn't get a pair of crutches and walk around. He was completely helpless physically. The good news of Jesus Christ is that when you come, you cannot help yourself spiritually. But when you come to the place and understand that there is a God that loves you, that he died for you, and you cry out to him, then you are able to receive help. The first question I have, are you at that place, or have you been to that place where you can say in your heart of hearts, I have called out to God and said, God, I need your help. If you haven't, today could be that day. And I would love to talk to you after the service. First thing we learn about this guy, he is completely helpless in a situation that he cannot fix himself. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke. Now, Bible scholars, you're looking to be going, hey, wait a second. We missed something. What did we miss? Where did Paul not go? Paul did not go to the synagogue. If you would track in your first round of homework this afternoon, on this Labor Day weekend is to go back and start studying the number of places that Paul went, and he always went first to the Jewish synagogue. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The gospel goes first to the Jewish people, and then it goes to the Gentiles. There's no mention of the Jewish synagogue here. There is a small contingency of the Jewish synagogue, and that I would take you to 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy with Lois and Eunice. All right, so they go outdoors to the people. The first thing, second thing, whatever thing we're on right now, I want you to make sure you mark in your Bibles the common ground. Paul takes the gospel to where the people are. And he takes them to the city gate. He's got a captive audience. This guy, he's not going anywhere. He can't. So he has this courtyard, in my mind's eye, this courtyard, and this guy is sitting there, he's listening to Paul. Paul looked at him intently and saw that he had faith. Why did he have faith? Because he's hit rock bottom. The good news and bad news is the same. The good news is this guy has hit rock bottom. The bad news is this guy has hit rock bottom. And when you hit rock bottom, friends, you know the only place to look? It's up. And you know when you look up, who's sitting there? Jesus. And this guy is in a helpless place, physically. But it's also speaking to his spiritual life. He's sitting there, he's looking at Paul, he's saying, I have the faith to make me well. And he said, Paul said to him with a loud voice, why would he say that with a loud voice? Well, look at what he's doing. He's in the middle of a courtyard. And if I say to my friend right here, hey, stand up, you're well. Did you hear that? If I took off the mic set and I just whispered something to him, are you going to hear that? No. Paul wants to make a point. What's Paul's point? Remember, we're in Lystra. Lystra is about worshiping. They want to worship. They just are not worshiping the right God. They're worshiping a false God. So he says in a loud voice, stand up! On your feet. Remember when I rolled my ankle? When if that doctor would have said, stand up! Well, I don't know. I don't have that faith. When I stood in that ankle for the first time, I kind of did one of these. I'd like my crutches back, please. I don't have enough faith. Boom, this guy right up on his feet. How long has he been off his feet? From birth. From birth. So he said in a loud voice so that everyone in the courtyard can hear him, stand up on your feet. And the man, what did he do? He leapt up and he began to walk. Immediately there is a healing. Immediately he jumps up. And there are multiple witnesses that are seeing this miracle occur. They know this guy. They see him at the gate. He's been the one that has begged for alms, begged for food, begged for money, because that's the way he's going to survive. And all of a sudden, here comes this new guy walking into town. We know him as Paul. Stand up! And the guy immediately stands up. No prior knowledge of how to walk. He's seen people walk. He now is walking. The crowd, they're going to have this response. They just saw this miracle. Just imagine if you saw a miracle. What would your response be? Whoa, can I put that on Instagram? They didn't have that back then. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, remember, he did this in the courtyard. Multiple people, when the crowd saw what they had done, they raised their voice in the Lyconian language. They had a dialect, and they raised it and said, the gods have become like men. What gods? The gods of Hermes and Zeus. Why is that important? Because that's the folklore, that's the fairy tale that they have been raised over generations and generations and generations. I don't want to miss this guy coming again. And now here comes this miracle. They're back. I don't want to miss them, so let's go ahead and let's worship him. The good news is that their worship, they have a heart to worship. The bad news is they're worshiping the wrong gods. They're worshiping false gods. They now want to worship Paul. So they say in their language, the gods have become like men. They have come down to us. They're back. We don't want to miss it. So they began calling Barabbas Zeus and Paul Hermes. We've heard this now. That is what the folklore says. They go and they say, you're no longer Paul, you're no longer Barnabas, you are Zeus and Hermes. You are the false gods that have returned from the last time. You're not Paul and Barnabas, you're trying to trick us. Don't you try to trick me. You're Paul, you're Hermes, Barnabas, you're Zeus. Moreover, the priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city gate, so take a line, draw that back up to verse number 8, where the man was sitting. He was sitting at the city gate. So they go, and it's not good enough, friends, that they're going to rename them. They go and get the priest from the temple of the false god that they have dedicated. Some scholars and people that study this folklore say that this was the house that the gods went to for the couple that showed them hospitality. So they went and they got the house, the priest, from the temple. It was just outside the city, and they brought oxen and garlands to the gate, and they wanted to offer sacrifice. They want to worship Paul and Barnabas. Again, be careful. Listen, lean in. That's good, they want to worship. That's really bad. They're worshiping false gods. They have a heart to worship, but it's directed in all the wrong ways. Now, Paul and Barnabas are going to have an opportunity to take that common ground of a desire to worship and move it to worshiping the one true God. The apostles had this reaction, verses 14 and 18. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard about it, heard about what? They went and got the priest. They went and got the sacrifice. They're seeing this happen. When they heard about it, they tore their robes and they rushed into the crowd. The universal sign of displeasure in Bible times is you rip your clothes. You rip your shirt. Now, we do that today, and that's not a big deal because we have 30 different pairs of shirts, right? I've got 4 shirts out back just in case I spill coffee on this one. Just in case my donut between first and second service goes a little awry, I got a second shirt. It's okay, not a problem. Holly knows when it's been a bad morning for me, if I come to church in blue and then third service, I'm wearing gray. That's not good. These guys, they only have one outfit. Just imagine taking your one outfit that you own, and you're so displeased by what you're seeing that you tear it. That's what Paul and Barnabas are doing. This is no different than the universal sign for surrender. Do you know what that is? I give up. I surrender. They walk into this crowd. They're getting ready to sacrifice. They take their garments and they tear them. They tear them into the crowd, and they're crying out, you need to stop. Why are you doing these things? What are you doing? We are also men of the same nature as you. Your homework this afternoon, remember the first assignment? Good, I don't either. All right, second assignment. That's why I never went into education. All right, I want you to hold your finger in Acts 14. Go back to Acts chapter 12, verses 20 through 25. Remember when we started on a journey with Paul? We had to meet Herod. Your homework this afternoon is to compare and contrast. That's not a good. Herod's reaction to worship versus Paul and Barnabas' reaction to worship. Both men are going to be worshiped. One says no, no, no. One says yes, yes, yes. You go ahead and study that this afternoon. Go back and forth. It's a great Bible study. So they come and they're going to sacrifice. Let's go back to Acts 14. Men, why are you doing these things? Why are you going to sacrifice to us? We are also men of the same nature as you. You know what they're saying? They're saying to them, there's level ground at the foot of the cross. And I am no different than you. I have the same nature as you. But the only thing that's different between you and me, Paul's saying, I've met the risen Christ. I'm worshiping the one true God. You desire to worship, but you're worshiping the wrong gods. But he's saying, I have the same nature. I'm just like you. What a great opportunity you have to share the reason for the hope that you have. There's so much going on in our nation. There's so much going on in our city. People are upset. And you can walk around. You're not joyful, but there is a peace in your soul. And people are looking at you going, how can you be so peaceful? Because I know who holds the future. Can I share with you why I have confidence that God is in control? So Paul, he says, I came. I have the same nature as you. The ground is level. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Nobody gets a step up because you're so much better. It's all level. And that's why we can sing, God, you're so good. It's because we realize what God has saved us from and what he has given us because of his great love. So he says, I have the same nature as you. I came preaching the gospel to you, the good news that you have a debt you cannot pay, and God paid the debt that he did not owe through Jesus Christ, his son. And he says, so I want you to turn from these useless things to a living God. Notice that, highlight that, underline that, tag that. He took them from common ground. You're worshiping, and look how quick he turned it. You're worshiping the useless things, and I want you to worship a living God. You have a desire to worship, but let's get you worshiping the one true living God. Did you see that? Did you see how quick he took them from common ground, worship, to uncommon ground, the foot of the cross? He took them from common ground of, you want to worship a God, you worship the living God. He is teaching us. He is modeling for us how we share the gospel. We take it from common ground to uncommon ground. You need to turn from these useless things to a living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything that is in them. Romans chapter 1. You want more homework this weekend? Read Romans chapter 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. It talks about that in Romans chapter 1. Paul and Barnabas are sitting here and they're at the crux of this story. People are coming going, you're pretty amazing. Can we worship you? You're pretty awesome. We're going to get a sacrifice to you. And Paul and Barnabas are sitting here, standing here in this crowd, and they can either reflect the glory and give it to God, or they can take the glory and say, look at how awesome and wonderful I am. The question I have for you this morning, are you giving and living your life to reflect the glory of God? Is God receiving the honor, the glory, and praise through your life? Or are you living your life so that people will notice you? It's a great question. It's a heart question for how you're living your life. So Paul says, in the past generations, God, he permitted all the nations to go their own ways. Isn't it wonderful that God gives us the freedom to choose to worship him? We don't have to worship him. He desires our worship. But he is not mandating our worship from heaven. He permitted all the nations to go their own ways. If you don't want to accept the Lord, then you don't have to. I would beg that you would. But you don't have to. It's your freedom. It's your choice. Yet he did not leave himself without witness in that he did good. God did good. What good did he do? He gave you the rains from the heaven and the fruitful seasons. When it rained this week, I checked my neighborhood. Some of my neighbors, they know Jesus and they're saved. Some of my neighbors, I don't think they know Jesus. I don't think they're saved. But you know what happened in my neighborhood? It rained over the whole neighborhood. It didn't rain over just the saved houses or the houses that are living in obedience to Christ. And then you drive down the street, three houses, and go, oh, they're not living for Christ. Their lawn's dry. No, you don't see that. God is good. He gives rain to all. Anybody have a garden? Okay, good. One person has a garden. If we're coming to your house. God gives fruit. He gives gardens to the good and to the godless, to those that are loving and following his word and to those that are unloving God and not following his word. God remains good. That's what Paul's saying. And by even saying these things, so Paul is presenting the gospel saying, listen, come here. Don't you worship me. The ground is level. I can't cause the weather. I can't cause fruit. I can't cause a harvest. God can. He's the living God. As he's saying this, look what's happening. Even by saying these things, only with difficulty did they restrain the crowds from offering sacrifices to them. This crowd has their mind made up. We have to worship Paul and Barnabas. We have to lean in because we don't want to miss this opportunity and learn and not learn from the legend or folklore that my great-great-grandpappy told me. So they have their minds made up to worship Paul and Barnabas. But now they're going to have a new reaction in verses 19 and 20. All right, so first thing to look at is 19, but. All right, so it shows a contrast is coming. The Jews came from Antioch and Iconium. All right, let's go back and make sure we understand. Look back at Acts chapter 13. Paul is in Antioch, Pisidia, and he leaves in verse 50 because they instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas. A couple weeks ago, we looked at that. We think that that's where they were beaten with rods. And then in chapter 14, verses 1 through 8, they were in Iconium. And last week we left at Iconium because they were getting ready to stone him. And Paul said, I'm not going to be stoned. So they left. So these folks that have in Antioch have succeeded in the persecution. The folks in Iconium, they couldn't quite pull it off. So they traveled to track down Paul. Now, just by the map, give or take, Antioch to Iconium is about 90 miles. Iconium to Lystra is 20 miles. So give or take, they have walked 100 miles to make sure that they track down Paul and Barnabas. All right, so let's look at this. So the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, hold on, I forget. What was just happening in the previous verse? Well, one of you would stand up and say, they're getting ready to sacrifice because they think Paul and Barnabas are gods. Are you with me? Okay, are you with me? Okay. I told the other services that this is the greatest service ever. And they're all in and they respond well. Just listening. Okay, that's better. We're getting there. We're getting loose. Okay. So they are 1 minute. Let's sacrifice. You are a god, little g. Look what happened. Persecution comes in from Antioch and Iconium. What do? They stone Paul. They pick up a stone, give or take, a stone about this size, put roundness on it, maybe put a jagged edge, and they take stones and they start to throw them. Mark it in your Bibles. 1 minute they were worshiping your God. The next moment, they pick up stones and they stoned Paul. And the point of stoning is it is a slow, painful way to die. It's not quick. It's not merciful, if you will. The point of stoning is that you will suffer like you've never suffered before, so that people will learn from what you did and they won't do it again. So they stone Paul. and they dragged him out of the city. Why? Because they think that he was dead. Notice what they think of Paul. Again, I want to come back. Don't miss this. One moment. Paul, you're a little g god. We worship you. The oxen are here. The garland's here. We have renamed you Hermes. Now they've stoned him, and they're dragging their little g god by the ankles out of the city because they think he's dead. Why are they dragging him out of the city? Let me put it a different way. What is not here? Well, there's no service for his passing. There's no casket. There's no canvas that they wrap him in. There's no hole that is prepared for him to put a cross in, to put, here lies Paul. They drag him out of the city by his ankles. And there's no one dragging his head, most scholars believe, just dragging him on the ground. And they're going to dump him outside the city for the birds to pick at, the wild dogs to eat, or any other wild animal that's there. Thinking that he's dead. Notice how quickly a crowd turned. The question I have for you, are you living your life seeking the praise of others? This crowd was ready to worship, to decorate, and if you will, to deify Paul as a god. And then, boom, they stoned him. How quickly a crowd can turn. And if you're living your, be careful, living your life to please the crowd, because their opinions can turn on a dime. And the question that I meditated on this week, am I living my life seeking the praise of others? Do you like me? Ed, do you like me? Hannah, do you like me? And sometimes I can lose focus over what God says in his word because I'm so focused on gaining the praise of others. And I just wonder this week, are you living your life in hopes that people will like me? Because boy, that can turn on a dime. And we've all experienced that. Who we thought were friends are no longer friends because we said that landmine of a word. You know what those are. But let's commit to living our lives in honor of God's word and what he says. So Paul's sitting there, or laying there, he's dead, or at least we think he's dead. But while the disciples stood around him, who are the disciples that are there? Well, scripture doesn't say, so we want to make sure we're careful that we don't make assumptions. But most commentators I've studied said, we know of four. And this is your fourth homework assignment you can read for this afternoon. This would be the four disciples that I can stand up here and say with somewhat certainty would be the lame man that was healed in verse 8. He's going to stick with Paul. He was in a helpless condition. He's now saved physically or healed physically. If you want to read 1 and 2 Timothy, this is where Timothy was growing up. Remember I said there was a Jewish synagogue that was there? Well, if you read 1 and 2 Timothy, that's where Timothy grew up. And you have his Lois and Eunice, his mother and grandmother. So most commentators say these four were standing around him. And they were standing there. What were they saying? I don't know. And I don't ever want to assume in the scripture. But I sit in my office and I go, if this was me, and I've got Paul laying there, what would I think? First thing I would think is, God, what are you doing? This isn't the way it's supposed to be. Fear would come over me. What if they come after me? And then the third and final thing I would think of is, what happens next? Who's going to take up the mantle? Who's going to take the gospel and continue the work of Jesus Christ? Who's going to share what Jesus did on the cross? So they're standing around and they stood around him. He got up. What? Paul, being stoned, he got up. How? It's a miracle. Now, there's two different views of this. whichever one you hold to, I'll hold to the other one, and then we'll flip in 5 minutes and we'll have a great cup of coffee. Did Paul die? Maybe. And was he resurrected? Sure. Some scholars insert here that he, when he went up to the third heavens in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, he talks about that. He died and God brought him back because God was not dead with done with him. Some say that he was knocked out and the crowd was so in a row that they just knocked him out and then he came to once the disciples are around praying for him. I don't know. I don't know. But here's what I do know. Paul got up. Paul got up and he entered the city. Paul, this is the place they just stoned you. And you're going back in the city. I read this and I thought about my junior high days. Remember the bully? Junior high days of bullies? The bully came and they beat you up. And then you walk back in and say, give me another one. That's what Paul's doing. And I don't want to be funny about that. Paul came and went back into the place that they stoned him. And the next day he left with Barnabas and he heads to where? Derbe. Could you imagine that? He's stoned and left for dead. He comes to or comes back or resurrected. And what? Look at where he does not go. Paul does not take Barnabas and head for home and say, it's too hard for me. I'm done. I quit. Paul said, you know what? The gospel. It's that important. I got to keep going. I have to keep teaching about the resurrection of Jesus. What a great example for us. But I can't read this without bringing in what's going on in our world. Because you and I, we go out and we share the gospel. Typically, broad stroke, go with me. I share the gospel with someone. They say, oh, that's great. That's good for you. It's not for me. They may call me a name. They may call me weird. They may call me something else. Insert it there. That's probably the level of persecution that I will ever face in America, at least right now. But you know who? This is not just something that our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan are going through right now. This is reality. China, North Korea, the Mideast, they're taking their stand going, it's for the gospel. And let us never come into church taking our freedoms for granted. Our service is going out live stream. All three services, they're replayed all the time during the week. Probably 99.9% of us won't face any persecution. But if you want a last, final challenge, when you read this, the disciples stood around him. He got up. He entered the city. Friends, there are people of like precious faith that are dying for the gospel in the Mideast. Let's pray for them. And God forbid, if it ever came to America, I would pray I'd have the boldness to say, I choose Christ. But Paul got up, got his stuff, took Barnabas and said, hey, let's go to Derbe. They need to hear the gospel. And yet again, Paul is not discouraged. He is encouraged because the gospel continues to spread. The three questions we have I come to the place where I realize that I need help? Are you there? Not physically, but spiritually. Are you tired of doing it yourself? Come to Jesus. He'll give you rest. Come, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Second question, am I living my life to give God the glory and honor? Are you a mirror reflecting back to Christ? Or are you saying, give me, give me, give me? Third and final one, am I living my life seeking the praise of others? Did you see that? Would you like that on Facebook? Can I get a like on Instagram? Let's live our lives seeking the praise of God and God alone. What do I want you to do this week? This week, it's the action is to take the gospel so people can worship the one true God. I believe America wants to worship. I'd love to see America worship the one true God. No more false gods. Let's help America worship one true God by pointing them back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's close in a word of prayer. As you put your Bible away and you gather your stuff, you stirred? You've been challenged this morning by God and His Word? It's living and active. Is there anybody here this morning I can pray for? I'm not going to call out your name. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you come forward, but I would like to pray for you. Is there anybody here this morning that says, I've never come to that place where I'd have that relationship with Christ? I've always tried to do it myself. Would you see me? Would you talk to me? Would you see me? Would you make sure? Because I need to come to a place where I realize I need help. Is there anybody here this morning? Anybody here? If you're online, would you send me a private message? Love to talk to you. Is there anybody here this morning that says, would you pray for me? Because lately I've been giving God less credit and honor, and I want to live my life to give God all the glory and honor. Would you pray for me this week that I can be that mirror and reflect back to God by what I say and what I do? See that hand? Thank you. Two hands. Thank you. Three hands. Four. Is there anybody here who says, would you pray for me this week? Would you pray for me right now? Because I've been living my life looking for likes and the appraisal and approval of others. I need to live my life in approval of God. I see that one hand. Two, three, four, five, six, seven. Praise the Lord. Lord, we're so thankful for your word. It is powerful and it is active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. And Lord, we've been challenged to worship the one true God. Lord, help us to be men and women, boys and girls that live our lives in worship of you. And if there is anyone here in this building or online that's watching this service, and they have not come to the place where they have said, God, I need help, may today be the day that they seek your face, that they would seek out a pastor. They would have the boldness to have that conversation so that they can say, I need help. Lord, I pray for those that want to live their life so that you receive the honor and glory. May we be a reflection of you. And Lord, this morning, may we not live our lives to get the praise of others, but may we live our lives so that you receive the credit. Lord, help us to be men and women that seek to praise you and not take the glory from you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Be in the back of the auditorium if you would like to connect with him, especially if this is your very first time, or maybe you haven't been here in a long time. I know especially he would like to meet you and introduce himself to you. So if you would do that, I know I'd appreciate it. And before we leave, if you have a guest card that you filled out, the opposite side is a place for prayer requests. And if you fill that out, we have boxes by each door on the way out. And if you'd be kind enough just to drop that in there, we'd appreciate it so very, very much. Well, let's all stand together this morning. As we close in prayer, we want to say that we love you and we are so glad that you've come today to worship with us at Cross Point Church. Let's pray. Our God, as we leave now, I pray that you would use us this week. First of all, God, we thank you so much that you allowed us to worship the true God. And we thank you. And might we be open this week to allowing the Holy Spirit to use us to take the good news to a lost and dying world. Lord, I pray now that you would go with us, bring us back at the next appointed time, and all of God's people said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week.